Ramsey TV.
I probably shouldn't even be making a show today. I probably have no business making a show today. Yeah, here I go. So this is either going to be the worst show ever, which I'm willing, very willing to happen, or it'll be the best show ever. Either one's okay with me. I'm going to talk about the Paul comparison today, but first, I have to share something that just happened. I have to share something I said yesterday that was not completely accurate. This is all part of the larger topic of the Apostle Paul and MIA modern day Paul. This is something I've never, ever talked about. People have called me that, and I would never have the audacity or the chutzpah to even address it. But I'm going to address it today because of a man named Rob and what he asked AI, and I think it's appropriate. And I'm thinking of myself differently now than I used to. You know, yesterday, I just have to complain a little bit, vent my complaint. But I really spent it because I just wept in front of my wife. I don't think I've ever wept like that in front of my wife. And she called me over to her. And she said, "Are you scared about this?" And I said, "No, I am angry." I went to wound care thinking that I was going to come out of there relieved, feeling better, feeling relieved. Instead, they wounded my wound. I was talking all nice about him yesterday, but after a day, it's the next day. What day is this? I don't know. Tuesday. After a day of constant, unrelenting, level 7 and 8 pain, I am so pissed. Number one, the nice girl that put the bandage on and told me not to run. Remember, the one that told me not to run? Why shouldn't I run? Well, you're going to ruin the bandage. Okay, sounds right. Okay, I don't want to F up the bandage, so I will obey you, madam nurse, and I will not run. I didn't tell you this, but as I was getting off the bed, the tape that she had on the bandage came undone. Already, I hadn't even gotten out of the room, and the bandage was coming undone. I got home at 4 or 5 o'clock, went to bed. Thank God I was tired as all get out. I felt like a dead horse. I went to bed, my pillow soaked. I woke up, I turned it over, went back to sleep. The bandage didn't last 8 hours. She said it might last 2 days, should last 2 days. I was so happy about that. I didn't have to change it, right? And the whole rationale for not running was protecting the precious bandage because it's such a good bandage. If you run, you might disturb it. No, apparently if I get off this bed, I'll disturb it. Before I get out the door, breathing will disturb this fucking bandage. Sleeping disturbs the bandage. The seepage disturbs the bandage. I can't run because, well, I couldn't have run, no way, because of the pain. But the rationale was, don't destroy my perfect bandage. So I had to change it. And she said, "Well, if you do have to change it, make sure you keep the packing in there." Right. So I asked Maria to help me, and she couldn't look. She really couldn't look. I took the nurse's bandage off. See, I tried to do it in the morning before my wife got up, and I could see the packing was coming out with it. So, oh, shit. So I put it back on, wrapped some more just to keep it in there, and then I waited for Maria to get up. I got up early. So when she got up, I said, "Baby, could you please help me?" So, of course, she came in to help me. She goes, "Oh, my God, I can't look." So I pulled the bandage off and the packing came out with it. It looked like the intestines of a dead squirrel. And the thing was just soaked. Sorry, should have warned you ahead of time. This is rated X. So I put another bandage on. Now, okay, I'm the bandage guy now. Again. The pain was horrible. All day, I just sat in my chair staring, trying to breathe. Overdosing on ibuprofen, overdosing on acetaminophen, overdosing on Trabadol or some other thing. It's not overdosing, but, well, yeah, kind of. Man. Nothing. They didn't give me any pain medication. So then it all came to a climax. An hour ago, I went to change that bandage because it was on all day. And I was peeling it off, and part of it stuck. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I pulled it, and it hurt so fucking bad. I yelled. It was like, ah. And it started to bleed and drip all over the floor. I was pissed. I was so pissed. Yeah, I got a nonstick on it, but I find a nonstick stick, especially when there's... Anyway, let's not talk about that. I walk into the living room, I start pacing back and forth. Maria's at the sofa. I said, why do I go? I started to vent. I started to lose it. Basically lose it. I go to a wound healing center. And what do? They wound my wound. I go in there. I get stabbed. I get cut. They put a shit bandage on me. Tell me I can't run. Send me home with no pain pills. I leak all over my pillow at night. The bandage sucks. It doesn't last 8 hours. The packing comes out. Looks like a dead squirrel's intestines. And I pull my bandaging off, and I pull out one of the injuries that was given me by the doctor. God damn, they injured my injury. They wounded my wound. They sent me home worse. Why? Oh, they're doing me a favor to see if I have squamous cell carcinoma. Thanks. Why don't we just assume I have the damn shit and do the surgery? Why don't we just assume it? Wound center, treatment, better. We're going to heal you. And what do? They stab me, and they cut me. They hit me with a shitty bandage, send me home with no pain medication. Bastards. So I never done this in front of my wife like I did an hour ago. I just started bawling. And she said, come here, honey. She held me in her arms. I just wept onto her shoulder. And she asked me, Are you crying because you're scared? No, I'm crying because I'm angry. I'm angry. And just, I started crying again. Heaving. Spasmodic crying. Which is why I'm so calm now. You don't want me to make a show an hour ago. Anyway, I have to tell you about this. So... That was my day. The Apostle Paul says in 7 places, become imitators of me. He tells us all to become imitators of him. I've never, ever set out to imitate Paul. Never. My first role model that I sought to imitate was Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus, the feared middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, number 51, was drafted the same year as Gale Sayers. I also tried to imitate Gale Sayers. I had two opposite role models. Just like in writing, my role models were Mark Twain and Ernest Hemingway. I mean, we're talking Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. That's... In the writing field, Ernest Hemingway was the It was hot, guy. Mr. Literal, Mr. Sparse, lean, muscular prose. Mark Twain was a song and dance man, funny. And I told myself, if I could combine with my writing, if I could combine the literal observational powers and the sparse writing and the muscular writing of Ernest Hemingway, and then sprinkle the fairy dust of Mark Twain on it, I'll have something. And that's what I did. And I wrote down everything I admired about Ernest Hemingway and everything I admired about Mark Twain. And I made notes of how to write like that. And that's who, and that's who I began to imitate in my writing. If you read my writing, you'll see sparse, hard, short statements, but sprinkled with fairy dust, funny, irreligious, cynical, ironic, which things Hemingway really rarely was. Now we get to Dick. This is all coming down to Paul. Now we get to Dick Butkus, because I never sought to imitate Paul. I sought to imitate Dick Butkus, Gail Sayers, Ernest Hemingway, and Mark Twain on the playground. When I saw Butkus play, it said something about me. I have this manic focus. When I decide to focus, nobody's better. On the playground, we had this game called Pinky Ball. You take this soft pinky ball and you throw it in the air, and it was just who gets the ball. It was a melee. And I would focus on getting that pink ball. I was just manic concentration. Like, I would dive, I would jump, I would dive, I would elbow people. I didn't purposely try to hurt the people, but isn't the object of the game to get the pinky ball? Isn't that the object of the game? I'm going to get the ball. You understand that or not? If you don't, I always won. Because I was just rabid. I don't know, at an early age, I had this competitiveness, like this focus. Like, Dick Butkus. Dick freaking Butkus. Go to YouTube and watch Dick Butkus highlights. The guy had a concentration on the ball. He followed the ball. He knew where people were going to go. He threw himself at the game. He threw himself at people. He didn't want to just tackle people. He wanted to put them in the hospital. The guy was crazy. Crazy on the field. But I admired that. And then Gail Sayers. I looked at the grace of Gail Sayers. And Butkus and Sayers both had the same eyes. They had the same eyes. The focus. There's one picture of Gail Sayers. If I can find it, I'll put it on here. If you don't see it, then I can't find it. But he just had his lips pursed and his eyes were focused. That guy could read the field. That guy had a peripheral vision that was uncanny. And Dick Butkus had the same gift. He had a nose for the ball, and Sayers had a nose for the hole. Oh, God, he had a nose for the hole, man. He would find it no matter what. It's a little sliver of daylight. Sayers would be through it already. I saw Sayers. I lived in Canton, Ohio. I saw him at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, oh, my God, there's Gail Sayers. He was sitting in a chair not far from me. I never saw Dick Butkus. I wish I had. Dick Butkus died in 2023. I did see my other hero, Alan Page, of the Minnesota Vikings. He actually went to my high school, Central Catholic High School in Canton, Ohio. But I find that God perfectly suited me to do this job by admiring the men I've just described. Because when I realized I had a calling from God, when I felt the pull to want to know Christ, it became... It became Butkus-like. Oh. And it became emotional like this, too. It was a serious thing. There's no laughing. To me, in 1993, I hit the realization that the world is being lied to. My motivation was to rid the world of lies about my father, That's all I wanted to do. And I want to do it with fury and with mad concentration. And I want to do it with mad skill. But I didn't quite have that yet. I kind of did. I was already writing professionally. I was getting paid to write for several newspapers. I'd already learned to put Hemingway and Twain together. I hadn't quite perfected it, but I had Buckus and Sayers, because that goes back to my grade school days on the playground. Buckus and Sayers on the playground. It was Hemingway and Twain later. But my desire to write, my desire was to expose the falsehood, because they're lying about my father, and I pictured God as my father. I pictured God as a grand loving being who's being lied about, and I couldn't handle it. And people today laugh about it. People today send me videos about, they say, Martin, you got to watch this Christian guy on TV, and they go, LOL. Oh, nothing makes me madder than LOL when somebody sends me something about somebody lying about God. Do not ever put LOL on any email or any text when you're sending me something about a Christian dissing my father. I got no tolerance for it. I can't put him in the hospital because that's not legal, but I can use my writing skill and some crazy speaking skill that God gave me to put them figuratively into the hospital. It's not funny. When I'm being funny in a writing, I'm in pain. Pain is causing the humor. And I know that I can kill them with satire better than any other method. I thought that's the one thing Concordant was missing. Concordant was great, and I learned a lot from them. But they were missing the satire and, like, just bitterly mean cartoons to expose. In 1996, when I discovered the order of expose, rebuke, and entreat, that was magical for me. That gave me justification for what I was doing. It's like, oh my God, there it is. I didn't see it until 1996. I didn't see it. I was 3 years in. I saw 2 Timothy 4:2, expose, rebuke, and treat. Those words just jumped out at me for the first time, even though I read 2 Timothy over and over and over and over again before I quit the post office to do this work. I never saw the order of those words. And I've never read anything about that. For all I know, God gave me that to discover. And I started to speak about it, and it's caused me trouble. People still criticize me today. I wish you had a separate channel for your exposure and rebuke. I just want you to hear you and treat. That's why I'm doing this and you're doing whatever pussy job you're doing. That's why. You're so mean. Okay, great. That's why I'm here and you're there. Enjoy your work. I'll do my work, okay? You're not built like me. You're not fit for this. God, it's just a separate channel. I wish you had a separate channel. I just want to hear you entreat. Well, guess what? Evangelism is 2/3 negative, as I've told you many, many times. Some people still don't get it. They still don't get it. The people that don't get it aren't doing this job because they can't. They're not suited for it. They're not fit for it. They're doing something else. God bless them. Whatever they're doing, fantastic. You know, this ain't no job for weak people. This is a job for Buckus and Hemingway. If you ain't Buckus and if you ain't Hemingway, you got no business being an evangelist and a teacher. But then you have to temper it. Paul would say temper it with salt, I guess. I don't know. No, the Buckus and Hemingway are the salt. Temper it with grace, I guess. That would be Gail Sayers and Mark Twain. So I have the Sayers and the Twain. I can weave. And I can sprinkle the fairy dust on it. But at the same time, I'm knocking your fucking head off. Not you. But I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. I will spend and be spent for you. And for anybody else who reads my stuff, nobody's going to be on the fence after watching one of my videos or reading one of my books. I've determined that from the beginning. I knew that from the beginning. Nobody's going to wonder what I'm saying. Nobody's going to watch one of my videos and say, I wonder what point that guy was trying to make. Nobody's going to read one of my books and say, I wonder what he was talking about. Gray makes me sick. Lukewarm makes me sick. It makes me mad. It pisses me off. Lukewarm, get the fuck off this field. I love Enoch for the quote, God gave teachers, not roundtable discussions. People want to discuss. We don't need discussions, we need teachers. I'm not even going to get to reading the AI question, the AI asked by Rob. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow, but I guess I was planning on doing it, but I guess this is more of a preface, of a prequel, of why I do what I do. So I never set out to imitate Paul, but by imitating these people and by loving the Word of God, I look around today. And I'm freaking 66 years old, and I told somebody at the Kansas City Conference, like, I can't believe I'm the elder. I'm the old man of the group. Like, I just can't believe it, because in my mind, I'm 20 years old. It's incredible. I'm so young in my spirit and my soul. Body's getting old, but man, I just can't believe I'm the old man now. And now, and I look at how people see me and what, and I realize that I'm something in people's lives. And you guys need me. You've told me that. That I've slowly realized over the years that I have been given the spirit of that man. I have the spirit of that man. I have the drive of that man. I have the dedication of that man. Without ever setting out to try to imitate that man, our apostle. Nobody will ever be Paul. There's only one. There's only one. And what did he call himself? A slave of Christ. What am I? Slave of Christ. Time to go take some more pills.